Okay, we'll see Dakshinamurti next class. Now we'll go to the Drishya Viveka. Before going there, I had to tell you this. Till today, this Drik Drishya Viveka, Vivekaha, this text, you know, nobody knows exactly who the author is. But it is believed, some people say, it's attributed to Adi Shankara. But really speaking, it is not Shankaracharya's. And it must be by one of the Shankaracharyas, okay, who came in the tradition of Sringeri Matha. It's believed. And some people also say, maybe Vidyaranya Swami also must have contributed for this. But doesn't matter, it is very clear, because those authors are not very keen about mentioning their names, this is the problem, isn't it? They never mentioned. So really speaking, we do not know who the author is. But definitely it is by one of the disciples of Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada. That much is enough. And here, this Drik Drishya Viveka, the very text itself tells you, Vivekaha, the word Vivekaha means what? Vivekaha is a masculine gender word, it's a noun. Vivekaha means Vivichya Jnanam. Vivichya Jnanam is Vivekaha. Vivichya Jnanam means what in Tamil? Pahut Aridal, isn't it? Vivekaha, discriminative understanding, discriminative knowledge, isn't it? Because this discriminative knowledge means being clear about two different things. And here, even the what is supposed to be arrived at last is secondless only reality. But to arrive at the secondless only reality, oneness of reality, you need to have discriminative knowledge of two things. Is it clear now? Then, because not give rise to any doubt for that reality is duality, as a dual or something. That's why. Then, you have to see the word drik and drishyam. There are two words here. Drik and drishyam. The word drik actually literally means seer. And drishyam, drishya, we say it's a potential passive participle, which means can be seen. But here we have to take it as what? Object. Drishyam means seen. The seen. Drishya means can be seen. Drishyam means the seen. Drik means the seer. So, drik, drishyam, when you say the seer, and the drishya means the seen, isn't it? So, drik, drishya, vivekaha means the discriminative knowledge of the seer and the seen. And we should understand it a little more further as what? The discriminative knowledge of the knower and the known. The discriminative knowledge of the observer and the observed. Seer and the seen, observer and the observed, knower and the known. This is the Drishya Vivekaha. And generally, to arrive at reality, we sometimes do different types of methods are used. And here, mainly, it is mainly where individual alone is analyzed here. An individual alone is analyzed. To arrive at the reality of the entire jagat, we are not talking about anything else here. The individual alone is analyzed. We are not analyzing the jagat. We are not analyzing the whole universe, it's not analyzed here. An individual alone is taken for analysis and analyzed. Okay, vyaktigata, isn't it? It's not samashti vicharaha, but only vyashti vicharaha. Individual alone is analyzed here, isn't it? And here, why this analysis has to be done? This vyashti vicharaha, the individual analysis itself, isn't it? Wherein we'll have to understand who the seer is, what the seen is, who the knower is, what the known is. Isn't it? We have to know that now, initially, actually speaking, we do not even know who actually the knower is, who actually the seer is, who actually the observer is, who actually the, seer, the knower is. We do not know. And this discrete knowledge will help us. And here, and you say, why this analysis has to be done here? Why Veshti has to be analyzed? Why one should have this drishya vivekaha? Why we should have this vivekaha? This vivekaha is not there. Because viveka is not there, when there is no viveka, definitely there is confusion. In the absence of the discriminative knowledge of knower and the known, isn't it? When there is no knowledge, naturally the drishyam is mistaken for the drik. Drishyam is mistaken for the drik. The known itself is known, also is mistaken for the knower. Isn't it? Therefore, vice versa also. The known is mistaken for the knower because the knower is not known. Who the knower is not known. Therefore, what happens? Known is mistaken for the knower. Then what happens afterwards? Once the known is mistaken for the knower, the limitations of the known, all the dharmas of the known, the attributes of the known, become superimposed upon the knower. Is it called? First we say what? The knower is not known. Therefore what happens? Drik is not known. Therefore drishyam is mistaken for the drik. This mistaking the drishyam for the drik is called adhyasaha. It's clear now? Adhyasaha. When you mistake the drishyam for the drik, then what do you do next? Drishyasya gunan drishi aropayati. Isn't it? You superimpose the attributes, the dharmas, the limitations, the qualities, the problems of the drishyam upon the drik. This is called what? Adhyasaha leads to, I'm repeating the technical terms I had used in Tattvabodha class. If you do not remember, you have to try to remember them. If you do not know, better know them. If you already know, please don't feel bored and don't lose your patience and try to assimilate them. Okay? So, what happened? This superimposition of the limitations of drishyam upon the drik is called what? Adhi aropaha, adhyaropaha. Isn't it? Ajnanam, adhyasaha, then adhyaropaha. Isn't it? Always when you superimpose what? Drishyasya gunan, drishi aropayati. Isn't it? The limitations of the drishyam are superimposed upon the drik. In Tamil, I want to say in between, drishyam is ariyappadu porul, drik is arihindra porul. Arihindravan, arihindra porul, isn't it? So, you superimpose. Then what happened is drishya, when they superimpose the limitations of the drishyam upon the drik, then what is what now? There is something called a notion becomes formed. What is the notion? Isn't it? There is a notion comes. Just the notion comes. Who has the notion? Who don't not need to ask all those things. There is something called a notion comes. What is the notion? I am small. I am insignificant. I am unhappy. I am a mortal. Isn't it? All these notions about the self happens in the form of a thought. Isn't it? Notions about the self. And this is what now? The notion about the self is definitely erroneous. why do we say the notion of a self are erroneous? Erroneous notions, isn't it? Any notion which happens in the mind, in the form of a thought, is definitely wrong notion. Why the notion is wrong? This notion is born of what? Born of the superimposition of the limitations of the drik upon the drishyam upon the drik. Isn't it? Therefore, what now? The notions about the self are all wrong notions. That wrong notion one entertains about the self is called ahankara. Is it clear now? You are going to understand ahankara initially. This kindergarten understanding of ahankara. You will later on, you are going to understand ahankara differently. Okay? The wrong notion one has about the self is what now? Ahankara. We are going to understand ahankara a little more differently later on. We will see that later on. Then, we say after this, because of this notion alone, what happens? That something called emotional need happens. Why there is such a thing called need? Emotional need is emotional dependence. Isn't it? Emotional dependence, emotional need, something naturally is there because of this erroneous notion about the self. If the notion about the self is not wrong, then the need will not be there at all. Amazing. This is the greatest achievement, discovery in the Shastra. The emotional dependence, something called emotional need, is because of what? Because of wrong notion about the self. And this need alone gives rise to something called desire. Why there is a desire? Asha. Asai endra ondru yen thondrugirathu. Shastram says why desire comes into being. How the desire comes into being, Shastram does not say don't have desire. Is it a big difference? Something, a phenomenon called desire, which you cannot see through your physical eyes, understand? Which you can only understand how something called desire comes into being. The desire itself has its being because of this something. This emotional dependence, emotional need. If this need is not there, desire will not be there at all. Isn't it? Desire will not be there. Why there is something called desire? The desire always gives rise to many new desires. Fulfillment of one desire will give rise to so many other new desires. Or desire unfulfilled will become anger. Okay, this is how something called anger also has its place first. Always anger is, isn't it, expression of unfulfilled desire. One's expectation, one's desire, one's need, it is not fulfilled, not satisfied, that will result in anger. You can always analyze it. Any anger is something, that is the thing, anger. Then, not only that, this always, when there is desire, okay, when there is anger, there is something called hurt, guilt, okay, pain. Hurt, guilt, pain. Okay, emotional pain. Something called pain. Why there is such a thing called hurt? I tell you, if there is no anger at all in a person, there will not be hurt at all. If there is, there will not be guilt at all. Guilt and hurt, understand now, is very natural only when there is anger, only when there is desire. Is it clear now? And this hurt, guilt and hurt, isn't it, caused by commissions and omissions of on one's own part, or commissions or omissions of the part of other person, cause what? Give rise to, result in guilt or hurt, and this is also emotional pain. And not only this, different degrees of pain, emotional pain, I'm not talking about the physical pain, okay? Emotional pain is possible because of this desire and anger. So all other problems also, any problem in life, anything which makes you unhappy, makes one dissatisfied, makes one angry, makes one feel hurt and guilt, alone is said to be a problem in life. What is problem actually? A problem is that which causes, because of which there is hurt, because of which there is pain, because of which there is anger. Isn't that called becomes a problem? Isn't it? These problems. So Shastram looks at it differently. Shastram does not say, don't have problems. You do not have problems. It is wrong to have problems. It is wrong to have anger. It is wrong to have desire. Shastram is not here to tell us right or wrong. Okay, Shastram only tells how these problems are very, very natural. Isn't it? All the problems are very natural. So, hurt is natural, the guilt is natural, emotional pain, any degree of emotional pain is natural. Isn't it? The problems are natural because disease are natural, anger is very natural. And this disease, anger and disease, they are all natural because the cause for what is that, because of which something called desire, a phenomenon called desire arises, isn't it? Where there is desire, definitely it presupposes fear also, isn't it? Fear. And fear, we can say anxiety also. Fear, anxiety. And desire, greed. Look at this. Fear, anxiety, and greed also. Desire, greed. Desire for something is okay, oh, too much of this is what now? Is it greed? And where there is, we can say fear, anxiety, desire, greed, naturally, when you see others enjoying what you don't have, don't enjoy, jealousy, envy, also is possible. Is it clear now? Very, very common thing. No doctor will say, tell a patient who has headache, come on, you're wrong to have headache. Okay, he will be very kind and nice to a person. Okay, why you have headache? The reason, he has to give medicine. That is what Shruti Mata does to us, isn't it? She doesn't say, come on, you're very bad, okay? You shouldn't get angry. Not like that. It is very natural for us to have all these emotional, psychological problems. So Shastram helps us to get rid of these problems. If all these problems, the fear, anxiety, desire, anger, okay, greed, isn't it? Desire, greed, anger, hurt, guilt, these are all not, envy, jealousy is not there. You are relieved, isn't it? You are relieved of all these things. That is what is free, isn't it? Free. They're all holding on to us, isn't it? These are all holding on to you in the form of thoughts. And we try to scrap and take away, throw away this jealousy, throw away this anger. We try to scrap and throw away all these things. We are not able to do it because they are holding on to you like anything. That is why. So, freeing ourselves from the hold of all these so-called, they're all problems, isn't it? The hold of problems, for which, what do we need? You cannot get rid of emotional pain, we cannot get rid of emotional dependence, we cannot get rid of anger, we cannot get rid of what? Desire. We cannot free ourselves from the hold of this, all these things. They are all naturally there, and Shastram says, all of them, without any effort, they will leave you free. You know, they are holding on to you as though. they will leave you also as though. When just, you know that, you know, if the drishyasya gunaha, okay, if the attributes of the drishyam are not superimposed upon the drik, you are free. To avoid that, what you should do all that now, isn't it? You have to get rid of the notion. Just the notion has to be changed. Not about the self has to be changed. How can you change the notion? Isn't it? For which you should know what? Discriminative knowledge. What the drik is not. What drik is. And what drishyam is. Isn't it? You should know the discriminative knowledge. In this discriminative knowledge of the seer and the seen, you will understand big connection also. It's not, you're not going to understand simply the individual analysis itself may help you understand the Lord Ishvara, will help you understand the universe. Understand? One analysis, we are only doing individual analysis. This Dhrigdrishya Vivekaha, discriminative knowledge of the seer and the seen, will help you understand the Lord, the Ishvara also. Will help you understand the universe also. And oneness of Ishvara, universe and the individual also. Is it clear now? Therefore, we have to do what now? Kimartham patanat puram kimartham iti vicharaha. Before you start doing the text, we have to always see why are we wasting our time sitting here on Friday, beautiful weekend, nice evening, coming, and why should we really struggle to read this text? The purpose of studying the text has to be made very clear. It's clear. Isn't it? I think this should be very good for you. Therefore, we start now. You have to write the first verse. All of you take your pen and paper. Those who can't read Sanskritam, they have to take your pen and paper and write it down. Those who can read Sanskritam need not write. You can wait. This is Swamiji's style. Rupam drishyam lochanam drik. Rupam drishyam lochanam drik. Rupam drishyam. Rupam drishyam. Rupam drishyam.
Rupam drishyam.
Rupam drishyam.
Rupam drishyam.
Lochanam drik.
Lochanam drik.
Drik, actually. Rupam drishyam.
Rupam drishyam.
Lochanam drik.
Lochanam drik.
Tadrishyam. 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 Driktumanasam.
Driktumanasam.
Driktu. Driktu. Manasam.
Manasam.
Drishya. Drishya. Dhivrittayah.
Dhivrittayah.
Drishya.
Drishya.
Dhivrittayah.
Dhivrittayah.
Sakshi.
Sakshi.
Drigeva.
Drigeva.
Sakshi.
Sakshi.
Drigeva.
Drigeva.
Sakshi drigeva.
Sakshi drigeva.
Natu drishyate. Natu drishyate. Natu drishyate. Natu drishyate. It's only one verse. Okay? Simple. That's all. I repeat it. Rupam drishyam.
Rupam drishyam.
Lochanam drik.
Lochanam drik.
tadrishyam
tadrishyam
driktumanasam
driktumanasam
drishya
drishya
dhivrtayah
dhivrtayah
drishyadhivrtayah
drishyadhivrtayah
sakshi drgeva
sakshi
drgeva natu drishyate
natu
drishyate sakshi drgeva
sakshi
drgeva natu drishyate
natu
drishyate. First he is making us understand what is drishyam. Okay, he says rupam drishyam. Rupam drishyam. Rupam means what? Rupam is a form, isn't it? Form is seen. Form is seen. Means what? The form is the seen. Form is the known. Any form is an object of knowledge. See, drishyam, when you say seen, means what? The known. Known, the seen is what? The object of knowledge. Rupam drishyam. Any form is an object of knowledge. Now, an object of knowledge never becomes the seer, the knower. The object, the seen object, look at this, the seen object never becomes the seer. Is it clear now? An object of knowledge is what? Never becomes the knower. Is it clear now? So here, object of knowledge is always the known, the seen. A form is seen, form is the known, form is object of knowledge. Rupam drishyam. Then, lochanam drik. Who is the seer here? Who is the seer with reference to the form? Who is the seer? Parkappadu porul uruvam. Parkindradu yedu? Isn't it? Lochanam drik. Isn't it? With reference to the form, the seer is eyes. The seer of this form is the eye. Lochanam means eye. Lochanam means eye. So his seer of the form is the eye, and the form is the seen. This you have to apply to other senses also, isn't it? So perceiver of the form, is it? The form is the perceived, eye is the perceiver, is the eye. Sound is the found, is the object, isn't perceived, and hearer is the ear, isn't it? So when the of the smell is the form, form perceived, and that which smells is the nose, isn't it? Knower of the smell, knower of the, isn't it? The perceiver is this, the nose. Similarly, taste is the perceived, and tongue is the perceiver. With reference to the taste, perceiver is who? The taste. The knower is the tongue. So, here, touch is the object known, and skin is the, isn't it? Skin is the perceiver. Actually, with reference to all these objects, objects of knowledge, all different forms now, form, form, sound, form, smell, form, taste is a form, touch also is a form. See, these objects are in five different forms. There are five different forms of objects of knowledge. Isn't it? Five different forms of objects of knowledge. These five different forms of objects of knowledge, always they're objects of knowledge. They never become what? The subject of knowledge. Is it clear now? 5 different forms of objects are always the objects of knowledge. They never become the subject of knowledge. Is it clear now? Therefore, rupam drishyam lochanam drik. Later on, we say, but these so-called, look at this now, the seer is who now, with reference to a form, seer is the eyes. Isn't it? With reference to sound, hearer is who? The ear. With reference to smell, the one who's that which smells is the nose. With reference to taste, that which knows the taste is tongue. With reference to even, you know, the touch, skin is that which knows the touch. Isn't it? So even this drik also, the seer, eye, the seer, with reference to the object, also becomes what? An object of knowledge. With reference to the mind. Isn't it? So here, tad drishyam bhavati. Tad drishyam. Tad drishyam is what? That drik also, drik the seer also becomes the seen. Drik the seer, isn't it? The drik the seer, who is the seer here? The eye becomes what? The seen. So drik also becomes what? The eye also becomes the seeing power. When you say drik, drishya, the lochanam, lochanam does not here mean just the golakam here, the seeing power. Isn't it? The seeing power in the eye is the actual seer. Lochanam does not mean the golakam. Lochanam here means the indriyam. The seeing power is the seer, isn't it? Seer is the seeing power in the eye, and the form is the seen, the object of knowledge. This object of knowledge never becomes an object, subject. But this seer, look at this now. The seer, the subject, isn't it? The seer, the subject, becomes what? Object. Why? Seer, the eye, with reference to form, eye is the seer. The seer of the form is the eye, this the seeing power. The seeing power also becomes what? Drishyam, an object of knowledge. With reference to what? Mind. Why? Mind is the drik, seer. Seeing power becomes the drishyam. Form is drishyam. Seeing power is the drik. Then seeing power becomes the drishyam. Mind becomes the drik. Mind becomes the drik. Is it? He says, tadrishyam. Tadrishyam means what? Adhuvum aryapadu purulahiradu. Then, drik tu, who is the whereas? Tu means whereas. Drik, the seer of the seeing power is who? Seer of the eye is who? Manasam, mind. Mind is the seer. Seeing power becomes the seen, isn't it? So seeing power is the seer, form is the seen. Is it clear now? Thereafter he says mind. Mind also, what is his mind? What is manasam? Manasam is, next line he says, dhihi. Say no? Dhihi. Dhihi is another word for dehi. Literally means buddhihi. Dehi here means the entire mind. Dehi, manasam, both mean the same. Manasam is neuter gender word, dehi is a feminine gender word. That's all difference. Dehi, okay. He says, but de vrittayaha. Vrittihi means a thought. And vrittayaha means what? Thoughts. De vrittayaha means what? Thoughts which constitute the mind is said to be divrittayaha. So divrittayaha means what? Mind. That's the manasam. Divrittayaha is equal to what? Manasam. Now he says, divrittayaha drishyaha. Means manasam api drishyam. Mind also becomes what? The known. Mind also is the known. And who is the seer of the mind? Mind also becomes what? Seen, that means known. And who is the seer here? Sakshi, one who witnesses the mind is the seer of the mind, perceiver of the mind, knower of the mind. And that Sakshi, witness, not an object at all, never becomes an object. Sakshi drig eva, the witness, that which witnesses the mind, that which knows the mind, the knower of the mind, seer of the mind is always drik, only drik, drik eva. Okay, that means what? Knower of the mind never becomes an object of knowledge. Drik eva. He emphasizes, natu drishyate, never is known, never becomes an object of knowledge. Very kindergarten. Understand? But very good, isn't it? To assimilate. Don't need to do anything, any homework, isn't it? Simply you can just go home and sleep. But what does it mean here? But don't think that way, okay? After 3-4 words it comes. You will understand ahankara differently. Don't think. Few words only, very simple. Outwards is Vedanta. Really, I mean, little more, the clarity will be different. You will understand differently. So what it says here, look at this. Object of knowledge never becomes the knower, seer, subject of knowledge. What is that? Rupam. Isn't it? Never becomes object of knowledge. But here, the in between, what now? The seer, I the seer, becomes what? Object of knowledge. Then mind the seer becomes object of knowledge. But who is the witness of the mind? Sakshi. Witness of the mind, the Sakshi, the knower of the mind, never becomes an object of knowledge. The object of knowledge never becomes a subject of knowledge, never becomes the knower. The subject, the witness of the mind, the knower, never becomes an object of knowledge. Is it clear now? So what do we understand here? Even though we start like that, rupam drishyam lochanam drukku tad drishyam manasam drukku, mind is the seer of the seeing power. Seeing power is the seer of the form. Seeing power is the seer of the form. Form is the seen. And we say what now? Mind is the seer of the seen. Isn't it? Seen. What? Mind is the seer. And the seer, seeing power, becomes the seen. Isn't it? And actually, seer of the mind is what? Sakshi. The one who witnesses the mind, the witness of the mind is the seer, the knower of the mind. That knower, the one who witnesses the mind, never becomes drishyam. Always drik eva. And that drik is what? Natu drishyate. Never is known, never is an object of knowledge. Is it clear now? And who is this Sakshi? Who is this Sakshi? Who is this? What is that which witnesses the mind? Who is the drik here? Therefore, now we understand what now, even though we say seen, seer, etc., etc., really speaking, drik natu drishyate, drik eva natu drishyate. Who is that always the seer, always the knower, never is that see, never becomes an object of knowledge? Who is that? Sakshi, witness. Who is the witness? Witness of what? Witness of all the thoughts. Witness of the states, all the witness of the mind. Who is the one who witnesses the mind always? Isn't it? Who is witness, one who witnesses the mind? In fact, here we have to understand, the mind witnesses the mind means, when does the witness, when is there the witness? You should ask, when is not? when the witness is not. Isn't it? The witness of the mind is always there inseparably with the mind. Isn't it? How can you witness something if you are not with the person? To witness what other person is doing, I have to report to Lakshmi Amma or let's say Amma all the time what Lakshmi Amma is doing. That means what? I have to be sitting with her all the time, not observing her completely. I can't even take my eyes like this. I have to give 24 hours report, okay? Report 24 hours, I have to report about her, what she is doing to Amma. It means what? I had to be with her all the time, you know, observing what she is doing, witnessing what she is doing. Isn't it? Even that's not possible. But mind like that, this witness of the mind is always seeing the mind. Drigeva. Understand now, it's always seeing the mind. Never does it wink. So never can mind miss, isn't it? Miss the, in fact, never can it miss the sight. Always it is there. When is it there? Come on, mind is asleep. Witness is there. Mind is asleep means what? That's called Sushupti Avastha. Sushupti Avastha, deep sleep state. When is that state? You know when that state is, okay? We'll have to after some time. And then Sushupti Avastha, we have what? No thought, no vritti. Dhi vrittayaha. Vrittihi means what? A thought. In Sanskrit language, vrittihi means thought. Isn't it? No thought is there. There is no vrittihi. Aham. I is a thought. I am is a thought. Is a thought. Isn't it? Whatever is what? Is no more of a thought only. Universe is the thought. Something is a thought. I am is a thought. All these thoughts are not there. What happened to the thoughts? They're all resolved. When all the thoughts are resolved, when there's no knowledge I am, there's no knowledge the universe is, that is called Sushupti Avastha. Isn't it? In that Avastha also, there is witness. Sakshi is there. That is why next day morning, we can say, no vritti was there, no thought was there. That experience is possible. Without the witness, experience is not possible. Without the experiencer, experience is not possible. One who is there as the experiencer is the witness, because of which experience is possible. The same witness, same experiencer, same knower, same observer of the mind is there in the dream state or dream state also, in Swapna Avastha also. Isn't it? That is why after when you wake up from sleep, you can talk about the dream. Dream experience is possible because there is experiencer of the dream. Witness of the dream. Sakshi is there. What is this? Who is the witness? You are the witness. Isn't it? And deep sleep state experience is there because there is a witness. Similarly, in waking also, there is a witness. Isn't it? You know you are up. Isn't it? That's enough. There's a witness of that. Is there a witness of that? There's a witness. So in all that, the mind alone has these three states of experience. Avastha trayam. Tisraha avastaha manasaha. Mind has three states of experience. Isn't it? These three states of experience, the three states of experience is possible. Are possible because of what? Because of the witness. And that witness, Sakshi, one who witnesses, that which witnesses, that which knows, that which experiences, isn't because of the presence of which experience is possible, is the witness of the mind. And that witness is all. Drik eva is always drik. Seer, knower, observer, experiencer. You can seer, knower, experiencer, observer of the mind is always this subject. నతు దృశ్యతే నెవర్ బికమ్స్ అన్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్. విట్నెస్ ఆఫ్ ది మైండ్ మనదై అరిగின்ற பொருள் ஒருபோதும் அறியப்படு பொருளாக புறப்பொருளாகாவதில்லை. Understand now, the witness of the mind, the knower of the mind never becomes an object of knowledge, is not known at all. Understand, that means mind is known, this mind, isn't it, is known, then this, see, all the sense powers also what, are known, they are also known, seer, but still they also become what, seen. And what about the objects now? The objects which are perceived externally, the external objects of perception never become the seer, knower, experiencer. External objects of perception are always the known objects of knowledge. Understand now? And here, this eyes, the sense powers which are said to be the knower with reference to sense, respective sense objects, they also become what? The known. And mind, which is the knower with reference to sense powers, also become the known. And who is always only the knower, never becomes the known, is what? Witness. That witness is what? The knower is the witness. That one who witnesses the mind, that which witnesses knows the mind, Sakshi, is what? You. You are the witness. You are the witness. You are the Sakshi. Isn't it? You are the witness. Why? Because mind is not outside of you, the knower. You are the witness and you are the Sakshi. Isn't it? You are the witness, you are the Sakshi. That witness, not outside of that. That witness is actually Chaitanyam, the consciousness. Consciousness is the Drik. Consciousness is the only Drik. Consciousness is the Drik. Mind, which is constituent of many vrittis, which undergoes three states of experience, is also what? Drishyam. The sense powers are all Drishyam. All the external objects perceived through senses are all Drishyam. Drishyam is what? Objects of knowledge. So how many Driks are there? Drik is one. How many Drishyams are there? Many. Understand now? Five sense objects, five sense powers, many thoughts. Understand? All are what now? Drishyam, Drishyani. Understand now? Drishyam, Drishye, Drishyani. Isn't it? There are many objects of knowledge are many. Subject of knowledge is one. Consciousness. Suddenly come, no, with reference to mind, since I am the no witness, what about other persons witnessing? Isn't it? The thing is, the one who witnesses this mind, the witness of the other mind, the witness of the other mind, witness of the other mind, witness of all the minds is one and the same, the only consciousness. Is it clear now? If I am the witness, I am conscious of the witness, then why should I not know other minds? I know only this mind. I do not know other minds. Isn't it? That problem comes. Those things we'll discuss next class. Okay? Now what we should understand today? Today in kindergarten class has been introduced again. Isn't it? It's good, isn't it? To make it very clear. Now you know, all the five different sense objects, five different forms of objects perceived through five different senses are all always objects of knowledge. They never become the knower, never become the seer experiencer. Then the five sense powers which seem to be the knower, seer, hearer, perceiver with reference to sense objects, they also become what? The objects of knowledge. the standpoint of mind. The mind, which is it, which seems to be the seer, knower, perceiver of the sense powers, also become what? The seen, the objects of knowledge. Vritti is also objects of knowledge. And the drik, the one who witnesses the mind, that which witnesses the mind is always drik, never becomes an object of knowledge. So what do we understand now? Subject of knowledge, the knower never becomes an object of knowledge. The object never becomes the subject of knowledge. Is it clear now? Sakshi drik eva natu drishyate. It's clear now. So I end the class. So you had to come for tomorrow's class. So somehow we started this. This drik drishya viveka. By the time you complete this text, I tell you, amazing clarity you will have. Very good. It's only introduction. Don't think, oh, Swamiji is repeating this. All, we all know all these things. And so what is this body? We get so restless, means if you're so impatient and restless, and I can't help you. It's not I want to teach you, that is the how, that is how this teaching style is. Okay? Yeah. Is it clear?
Yeah.
First class, okay, we just started like this. Om Rupam Drishyam Lochanam Drik. Rupam Drishyam Lochanam Drik. Tadrishyam, tadrishyam, driktumanasam,
driktumanasam.
Drishya, drishya, dhivrittayah,
dhivrittayah.
Sakshi drigeva, sakshi drigeva, natu drishyate,
natu drishyate.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate.